Good morning, I'm Chris Parks with a check of the latest in sports here on KJAN. Thursday nights have been kind to Iowa State over the years, and the Cyclones hope that continues when they open the Big 12 race at home against Texas tonight. ISU is 10-4 on Thursday nights, and a national television audience will also provide an opportunity to showcase the program.
It's magical, special, and I think the only thing this does, it gets to open the curtain to our national stage of what is Iowa State. Why does this place have a chance to become really, really special, and really what's going on there? And you get to see this fan base, and you get to hopefully, you know, continue to watch a football team that's improving week in and week out.
That's Iowa State head coach Matt Campbell, who says the Cyclones look forward to the opportunity.
You know, this is why you go play the game, and I think the best advantage we have is we get an opportunity to play at home in front of our home fans and this fan base, and that's really special no matter when and who you're playing against.
The Cyclones have displayed balance on offense in a 2-1 start that has seen them average more than 40 points per game. A key will be getting running back David Montgomery going against a stout Longhorn front seven.
I think creating our running game again is certainly important because 32 is a really good football player for us, and getting the ball in his hands and allowing him to have success is going to be important. But, you know, you got to be able to understand what the defense is trying to do and how they're trying to do it. But their front seven, outstanding.
Former Cyclone assistant Tom Herman is in his first season as Texas coach. The Longhorns are 1-2 after a double overtime loss at USC, but Herman does not expect a letdown from his team.
It's irrelevant who we're playing, where we're playing them. It's about us and the bunker mentality that we have within our locker room. And so I would be shocked if we didn't come out and play with the same kind of effort, energy, and togetherness that we did a couple weeks ago in Los Angeles.
Herman spent 3 years at Iowa State and knows the Cyclones, and the crowd will be ready for this game.
You know, anytime a big name comes into town, that place is rocking, and it doesn't matter. It's a really, really neat college football atmosphere because they're going to pack that stadium, whether it's Northern Iowa, Texas, Iowa. You know, those fans come out and show their support, and they're loud, they're raucous, and I would imagine it would be much of the same, especially on Thursday night national TV.
Texas leads the all-time series 12-2, but their last visit to Ames in 2015, the Longhorns were blanked 24-0. Kickoff at Jack Trice Stadium at 7 o'clock. The game will be televised on ESPN. Iowa quarterback Nate Stanley expects a Michigan State defense to bring pressure when the teams meet in East Lansing on Saturday. The Penn State defense bottled up Iowa's ground game by using a variety of blitzes in the first half of the Nittany Lions' 21-19 win in Iowa City.
We're definitely expecting for pressure, you know, not just this game, but every game. We know that it's going to come, and when it does come, we have to be able to handle it. So coaches do a great job showing us blitzes in practice and on film and even in our old games so we can learn what we did wrong and how to pick them up.
Stanley and the offense adjusted in the second half and even beat the Penn State blitz with several big plays.
You know, that's what you have to do to be successful, and our coaches did a great job at helping us in between series and to be able to recognize some different things that they were doing. So, yeah, as the game went on, we got better at that.
Stanley had a big day in his first road game, an overtime victory at Iowa State. Saturday will be his first road test in the Big Ten.
You know, you can't get too high or too low with the crowd, and just being able to handle the environment that you're playing in. I've never been to East Lansing in the stadium, so, you know, just being able to handle the environment like we did at Iowa State, you know, I think will be a big key in being able to go out and play well.
Stanley ranks in the top 10 nationally with 12 touchdown passes. Moving on to baseball, Addison Russell hit a 3-run homer and John Lackey pitched 6 strong innings as the Chicago Cubs clinched their second consecutive National League Central title with a 5-1 victory over the St. Louis Cardinals last night. The Cubs reached the postseason for the third straight year for the first time since 1908. They are also the first defending World Series champion to win their division the next season since the 09 Philadelphia Phillies, and the first defending champion to reach the playoffs the next season since the Cardinals won the wild card in 2012. The Cubs became the second visiting team to celebrate a title at Busch Stadium III. The 09 LA Dodgers won the NLDS at St. Louis. Lackey retired the final 10 batters he faced. The former Cardinals struck out 3 and gave up 2 hits and 2 walks. 6 Cubs relievers combined for 3 scoreless innings of relief. Other National League scores included Colorado beating Miami 15-9, Arizona 4-3 over San Francisco, Philadelphia 7-5 over Washington, the Mets 7-1 over Atlanta, Cincinnati 6-0 over Milwaukee, and the Dodgers 10-0 over San Diego. Over in the American League, Paulo Orlando hit a two-run homer, his first of the season, as the Kansas City Royals rallied from a three-run deficit to beat Detroit 7-4 on Wednesday night, the Tigers' ninth straight loss. The Tigers are 4-22 in September and have been outscored 68-30 in the skid. The last time Detroit lost nine in a row was September 1st through the 9th of 2005. Orlando's home run was his first since September 19th of 2016, going 117 at-bats between long balls. Scott Alexander, the third Kansas City pitcher, picked up the victory with 1 1/3 scoreless innings. Drew Verhagen gave up the home run to Orlando with Alcides Escobar, who had tripled aboard. The Royals padded their lead with a three-run eighth, which was highlighted by a two-run double by Escobar. Whit Merrifield scored the first run of the inning on a wild pitch by Chad Bell. Also, other American League scores included Houston beating Texas 12-2. It was Oakland 6-5 over Seattle. The Yankees beat Tampa Bay 6-1. Boston over Toronto 10-7. Cleveland 4-2 over Minnesota. And the White Sox 6-4 over the Angels in 10 innings of play. And in one interleague game, it was Pittsburgh beating Baltimore 5-3. The Miami Marlins are Derek Jeter's problem now. Major League owners on Wednesday unanimously approved the sale of the woebegone franchise by Jeffrey Loria to an investment group led by Jeter and Bruce Sherman. The deal needed 75% approval. A signed $1.2 billion agreement was submitted to Major League Baseball last month to sell the Marlins to a group led by Sherman, a venture capitalist who will be the controlling owner. Jeter, the former New York Yankees captain, plans to be a limited partner in charge of the business and baseball operations. The last right-handed hitter with at least four consecutive 200-hit seasons was Michael Young, with five in a row for Texas from 03 to 07. The others to do it were Kirby Puckett from Minnesota from 86 to 89, and Al Simons from 29 to 32 with the Philadelphia Athletics, and 1933 with the Chicago White Sox. If Altuve finishes the season as the AL hits leader, he will be the first player ever to lead the AL or NL in his hits outright in four consecutive seasons. Adrian Beltre is likely done for the season after playing 13 games with a strained left hamstring before the Texas Rangers were eliminated from playoff contention. Beltre hit his 20th major league homer of the season and got his 3,000th career hit in July. He wasn't in the lineup for the series finale against the Houston Astros on Wednesday. San Francisco pitcher Matt Cain says he'll retire after his start at home on Saturday against San Diego. The 32-year-old told his teammates on Wednesday in a closed meeting before the game at Chase Field against the Diamondbacks. Cain, 3-11 this season, made his big league debut with the Giants in 2005. He pitched in two of the Giants' three winning World Series appearances since 2010. The right-handed pitcher has a career record of 104 and 118 with a 3.69 ERA. He pitched the first perfect game in Giants history in 2012. The NFL is asking a federal appeals court to dismiss Ezekiel Elliott's entire lawsuit in its bid to lift an injunction that blocked the star Dallas Cowboys running back's six-game suspension over a domestic violence case in Ohio. The league wrote in a filing Wednesday to the 5th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals in New Orleans that the players' union case filed on behalf of Elliott had resulted in hopelessly doomed proceedings. The courts requested arguments from both sides over U.S. District Judge Amos Mazant's jurisdiction. The Texas judge granted Elliott's request for an injunction while the case plays out in federal court. The NFL asked the appeals court for an emergency stay of Mazant's ruling, and oral arguments are set for Monday. San Francisco 49ers safety Eric Reed says he hopes that the criticism President Donald Trump directed at NFL players protesting during the national anthem will help bring awareness to the issues former teammate Colin Kaepernick hoped to raise. Kaepernick sat during the national anthem last year because of police brutality and racial discrimination, and the protests grew with a handful of other players, like Reed joining Kaepernick. It became much more extensive after Trump's comments. New York Giants receiver Odell Beckham Jr. had little regret about the dog-like celebration that angered the team. He claims the NFL rules about post-score revelry are confusing. Beckham says he met with an unhappy co-owner, John Mara, to discuss his vulgar celebration. Beckham had gotten down on all fours and pretended to urinate like a dog after catching a touchdown pass. He would not discuss what was said. Coach Ben McAdoo says the team has a plan should Beckham step over the line. The University of Miami president says a member of the coaching staff is being investigated as part of a federal probe of basketball recruiting at seven universities. President Julio Franks says the U.S. Attorney's Office has confirmed that it is investigating a potential tie to a Miami coach and recruit. Franks says school officials are alarmed and disappointed by the development. He says that Miami has pledged full cooperation with the Department of Justice and the NCAA. Con man Lewis Martin Marty Blazer III is obscure no more after shaking college basketball to its core, working as a U.S. government undercover operative. The one-time Pittsburgh financial advisor who wanted to attract deep-pocketed athletes for his firm was revealed as the man who arranged meetings and taped conversations with 10 people charged in the probe, including four college coaches. Blazer pled guilty this month to fraud charges in a deal with prosecutors that could win him leniency because of his cooperation since late 2013. He cooperated after the Securities and Exchange Commission caught him cheating clients of more than $2 million to invest in two low-budget movies and a country music venture. He revealed he'd been paying bribes to secure deals with college basketball players since the year 2000. And Dwayne Wade has made it official, signing his deal with the Cleveland Cavaliers and reuniting with LeBron James. Wade tells the AP that he wanted the challenge of being back on that big stage, and he wanted to play with James again. James says having Wade as his teammate again is like walking into class on the first day of school and seeing a best friend. That's a look at the latest in sports here on KJAN. We'll have Cardinals and Cubs for you again tonight, 5:20 pregame, 6:15 first pitch. I'm Chris Parks, KJAN Sports.